Going to start with. I will bring up the script.
Beautiful. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm calling this Back Bay Architectural Commission public hearing to order at 5:01 p.m. on December 13th, 2023. You may participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at https://www.boston.gov/publicnotices/16058786. Or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 937-9671-4856 hashtag. You can also submit written comments or questions to Back Bay AC at boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comments will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview.
All right, so let's move on to our first agenda item.
That's great. It's 815 Boylston Street. Is there someone here for 815 Boylston Street, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Matt Fitzgerald on behalf of Apple, 815 Boylston Street.
Fantastic. Matt, if you could hold on for just a minute, Joe's going to read the staff notes and then the floor is going to be yours.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm out of practice. I forgot to do our roll call of commissioners. So we have Kathy Connor, Tom High, Andy Champaterra, Ethel McLeod, John Christensen, Rob Weintraub, Gina Demetriadis, and Susanna Gaspar. Have I missed anyone?
Nope.
Okay. All right, Matt. So I'll turn it over to you. Just let me know when you'd like me to advance and I'll read my comments. Staff notes that 815 Boylston Street is the Apple Store building, which was constructed in 2007. It should be noted that this property is located within the commercial area of the district, which allows for flexibility for addressing the special needs of businesses. At the September 13, 2023 hearing, the commission reviewed a proposal to place bollards in the public right of way. The proposal was denied without prejudice, and the commission suggested exploring options to install the bollards inside the building or on private property outside the building. The commission also suggested using street furniture instead of bollards, such as planters. The applicant has since met with staff and has developed an option to locate the bollards with granite planters outside the building and on private property. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the proposed option using steel bollards within the private property boundary with granite planters complements the design of the building and is consistent with the character of this area of the district. Live plant material only should be planted and maintained in these planters. Okay, Matt, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, Director Cornish, Madam Chair, and members of the Commission. My name is Matt Fitzgerald from DLA Piper with a business address of 33 Arch Street in Boston. I'm here on behalf of Apple from 815 Boylston Street, the property in question here. I'm joined tonight by Gary Chow from Apple, from Zane Ward from Apple, and Chris Tracy from O'Neill & Associates. Members of the commission, as you recall, we appeared before you on September 13th. As Director Cornish just indicated, our proposal was to install bollards in the public right-of-way adjacent to the store at 815 Boylston Street. Members of the commission at that time raised some concerns regarding the location and design of the proposal and ultimately denied the proposal without prejudice. We as a team heard you loud and clear. We went back to the drawing board. We've returned before you today, as Director Cornish had indicated as well, with a revised proposal that we believe is responsive to your comments and concerns and is overall a great improvement to the original proposal. We hope you agree. With that, I will just, I'll now hand off the presentation to Gary Chow from Apple, who will run through the slides. And once we're through the presentation, we will be happy to answer any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Good evening, members of the Architectural Commission and staff member Cornish. It's great to be back in front of all of you this evening. Before we dive into our revised design, just wanted to quickly refresh the reason why we're proposing the safety features in front of our store on Boylston Street. Next slide, please. Since the incident about a year ago at our Derby Street store in Massachusetts, where a vehicle ran into our store causing a fatality and numerous injuries, we've since then had several other similar incidents recently at our stores. One at downtown LA, and just a few weeks ago at Naperville, Illinois, where vehicles compromised our storefronts on both occasions. And this is literally among many other more similar incidences recently occurring around the country that are well documented. So with your support this evening, this will help us prevent and minimize these type of incidences from happening in Boston. As Matt indicated earlier, since our last hearing before this commission, we took in your input and have worked diligently internally and also with staff member Joe Cornish. And we're excited to confirm that we have made significant changes to the placement and the design of our safety features, which we believe have addressed the commission's input and are well received by Mr. Cornish as well. It's also worth noting that we recently presented before the Architectural Committee or the Architectural Subcommittee of the Neighborhood Association of Back Bay and have received their formal endorsement. In addition, we have the support from the Business Association of Back Bay as well. So with that, I will turn the mic over to Zane to quickly walk through the latest project design. Thank you.
Hi, commission members. Very nice to be here today. And I'll take you through this deck as quickly as possible in the interest of time. Next slide, please, Joe. To dive into our previous proposal very briefly, next slide. We had initially proposed a series of stainless steel bollards on the public right-of-way. Next slide, please. This is just an oblique view of that. Next slide, Joe, I'm sorry. Our amended option number one for the public right-of-way will be presented here. Next slide, please. We took into consideration some of the comments that the commission took, as well as some of our design managers internally, in terms of trying to be a bit more comparable to the overall aesthetics of the area. Yet we still pushed forward with bollards on public right-of-way. Next slide, please. We then took another approach and changed the materiality from a more of a chess piece look to a granite look for bollards, but yet still on public right-of-way. Next slide. We then attempted another look, which was individual planter bollards, but again on the public right-of-way. Next slide, please, Joe. We took into consideration some of the comments that BBAC gave back to us, as well as some of our other teammates and consultants that we spoke with. And we believe we've come up with some very viable options for private property location. Next slide. We were actually able to locate the original structural engineer of this property. And again, taking in consideration some of the comments from BBAC, we did some structural engineering studies and we did identify that we are capable of placing these bollards on private property. Next slide, please. We presented a original scheme that was, again, a series of bollards that were covered with granite, but we had not at that point in time incorporated any plantings or planters into the scheme. Next slide, please. We also presented a scheme where we just had stainless steel bollards across the face of the store, as we both feel both stainless steel and the granite materiality may be comparable to the overall context of the location, excuse me, of the store and the store design. Next slide. Again, an oblique view of the stainless. Next slide. We then took some feedback and we implemented planters on both ends of our array of bollards, somewhat book matching and or framing the bollard array. And we had decided to clad those planters with a granite material very comparable to the area and the existing hardscape. Next slide. Just an oblique view again. And next slide, please, Joe. Then we, in addition, took consideration to some of the comments that we heard from the Neighborhood Association, as well as, I believe, a better feel in terms of materiality. And we are now covering each bollard with the same granite cladding that we would be covering the planters with. Next slide, please, Joe. We also took in consideration some comments from the Neighborhood Association. And as you can see, we added one return bollard at the far plan west end. Thank you very much. Because that is greater than an 8-foot opening, which would allow a path for a vehicle to be able to go through. On the would be plan west side, excuse me, we don't feel that a return bollard is necessary due to the stairs and the obstructions that are in that location. Here's an overall plan view of what we are proposing. Again, the bollards will be on private property. We will be having a series of bollards, 4 foot on center, framing those bollards with a granite cladded planter cover. And we will also clad each individual bollard with a granite bollard cover. We are amenable to either option, either stainless steel or granite. And we really appreciate the opportunity to represent, and we look forward to the commission's review and comments. Thank you.
Thank you for the options that you presented. It was riveting to see where you were taking it. I think I had a question as you were presenting of what the spacing of these bollards is. And I think I learned that you wanted to limit it to 8 feet maximum so that vehicles cannot enter. Yet this plan is really showing something that is almost, you know, twice as frequent. How did you decide how many bollards you wanted to have in front of the store?
I may have misspoken when I mentioned the 8-foot dimension. What I was speaking about was our return bollard dimension. So previous design did not have a return bollard. It only had bollards running across the face of the store, which would allow for greater than an 8-foot opening from the first bollard to the face of the storefront. So we added a return bollard at that location for a little bit more protection. We have determined the width and spacing of the bollard being at 4 feet wide, as that will provide us with the maximum amount of crash protection required for this bollard assembly. This crash protection will comply with a 5,000-pound vehicle moving at a rate of speed of approximately 30 miles per hour, and that vehicle will not go any more than 5 feet beyond this bollard at that impact rate and weight. And that's how we were able to determine that spacing.
Yeah, see? Makes sense.
And again, that new bollard is in response to NAB. Someone said, what if the car were to illegally traverse from Fairfield Street up Boylston? So that was added as an additional safety measure.
Well, this proposal is phenomenal. It's a massive improvement over what you presented at our last meeting. So I commend you for that. Nice work.
I agree.
I'm ready to make a motion if other commissioners don't have any further comments.
I just had one question. I think, Joe, you had recommended stainless steel as opposed to the granite. Is that, am I understanding your recommendation?
The stainless steel, I think they're both attractive. I felt the stainless steel complemented the facade a little and with a nice contrast to the granite planter.
Could you flip to that rendering, Joe, just for comparison?
I think that the granite is a softer look. The stainless steel bollards are fairly commonplace. The granite ones, they also provide the same crash protection. And it's a softer look, and I think it's a better complement to the building, but I could go either way.
I think the granite seems to also complement the planters to make it a little bit more uniform instead of two different materials. I do like the granite. I think it looks really nice.
Yeah, I prefer the granite, but.
I prefer the granite, John Christensen.
Yeah.
I have one more question. The height of the planters, with the plantings and everything, do you think it needs to be the same height as the bollards? It seems to be a little bulky and takes away from the visual presence of the building.
We are very mindful of that. And yes, our design manager actually thought the same thing, a very similar comment. We are actually dictated with the height of the bollard in order to maintain the crash rating. So we do need to maintain that same height. We thought about maybe some plantings or some shrubbery that could eventually potentially go over the side of the planter or be a little bit lower in height, but we still need to work with our team to be able to determine the right planting material.
What's the height of the...
The height of the planter right now is approximately 40 inches, 38 to 40 inches.
Well, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And you're sorry.
I was just saying it's lower than what I would have guessed based on this rendering.
I think people will lean against that. It'll be useful.
Maybe no, for really. John.
No, they
and
will.
You're fine with the idea of using live plants.
Okay. Yes.
Other comments from the commissioners? Shall we go to the public comments? Great. Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Do we have any public comment?
We have Serge Savard. Serge, would you like to make your comment?
Yes. Good evening, Commissioner. Good evening, Joe. Serge Savard, co-chair of the NAB Architecture Committee. We also believe that this presentation and this proposal is a great improvement compared to the previous one, and we applaud the applicant for that. One thing that we did discuss during our meeting is the return bollard. If we understood well, all the bollards are basically covering a bollard. And so instead of a return bollard, we considered that and we suggested that the planter be used maybe even closer to the building instead of having the return bollard as a single element there. And we would be curious if that was an option that was investigated. But other than that, we the rest of the proposal with the planters and the bollards is pretty great.
Thank you, Serge. And I see Meg, you have your hand up.
Yep, Meg. Oh no, I think she.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I always forget to take my hand down, so I thought I'd get away with it. I'm here to support this. I think it's a great addition to the Apple building. I personally think that the metal bollards are better than the granite ones because it sort of mirrors the actual architecture of the building a little better, in my opinion. But that being said, I think this is a safety feature. I think it's extremely important that this has reached agreement. I do want to thank Joe. Joe, I appreciated your comments in the beginning, especially identifying that since this is a business portion, there are ways that you do have to sometimes look at it with a slightly more liberal lens. As much as I know that this has been a tough discussion, and I'm very glad that we have, looks like there's agreement, and I think it's going to be a very good installation. Thank you.
Thanks, Meg. Are there any other comments? I didn't see any, but I may have missed someone.
No, I think that's it.
Okay, great. Just to address Serge's question, maybe Matt or whoever out there might be able to answer, as far as the planter where the return bollard was, did you want to respond to the reasoning behind using the, not using the planter in the final overview, just to answer Serge's question?
Absolutely, yes. I did review that with our design manager, and he was quite amenable to either design type by either the stainless steel and or the granite. He was not really. I'm at a loss for words here. He really wasn't interested, quite frankly, in doing an individual planter bollard at the return. We thought that might be a bit of a departure from the individual granite bollard. It might look a little bit out of place in context to all the other bollard array. And I believe that was his reasoning in wanting to hold with the current design that we have.
And I agree with that. And those on the commission may not be as familiar with this location as I am, as I live across the street for the last 15 years. Whenever a new iPhone comes out, there are substantial lines that come out of that building and go to the right and wrap around Fairfield Street. The planter would inhibit that line, and therefore it really wouldn't be in Apple's best interest to put the planter there. Plus, I think it might be a little overkill, but I'm the one with the motion, so.
Right.
My motion is for approval using the granite bollards as presented, coupled with the granite planters.
Second.
Rob, I wonder if you could add a proviso that was suggested by Joe that only live plant material be used.
Yes, with the proviso that live plant material be used in the planters at all times.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
I'll do the roll call. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Great. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're moving on to 331 Newberry Street. Is there someone here from 331 Newberry Street, please?
Is it Brian, are you here?
Yes, I apologize. I was working on the mute button, or the unmute button, as it were.
Okay. Sure. And Brian, is there anyone else that'll be presenting with you?
Megan Morrison is also here. She's the architect who worked on the design. So if there's any questions that I can't answer, she'll help me out.
I'm going to make her a co-host. I'm just going to read my comment. Staff notes that 331 Newberry Street is a two-story brick building originally constructed as a stable in the late 19th century. The applicant is currently working to revise the proposal based on feedback received from the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding the applicant is to work with staff to clean up the appearance of the rear elevation of the building by removing, consolidating, and concealing existing conduit and equipment, and create a wood or metal enclosure to house the proposed charging station. And that's in line with other charging stations that the commission has approved. So, Ryan, I will just let me know when to move forward.
Sure. And good news, when we met with NAB, the design committee, they did request that we do some cleanup of back here, which I informed them that the landlord had already been working to get that done. And the work actually started yesterday to repoint this brick. And if this is the new file, you can move to the next. These are the existing conditions. You can move to the next page. So yes, this is a new file that shows the adjustments that we've made per the requests of NAB. Requests of NAB that show the charging station as well as the an emergency generator port that we have here. That's now been enclosed in these diagram, enclosed in a metal box. And then the other request was to provide on page 3, the next page, just the layout, just to ensure that when vehicles are parked in this space, that there's no overhang on the alley. So if you go to page 3, you can see that we've provided a diagram of what the space looks like, the current space that we have. So the end of that dotted line to the left is the is the end of the driveway and the beginning of the alley. So you can see that with two mid-size SUVs parked in those spaces, that we still have plenty of clearance without having any overhang into the alley in the back. We did work with NAB, and we did receive a letter of non-opposition for this project, as well as, for the delivery service itself, not particularly for the charging station itself, but the project has non-opposition from NAB, support from the Back Bay Business Association, as well as non-opposition from Jay Livingstone's office.
Is the generator port, in case the power goes out in the building and you need to bring in a generator truck to hook it up?
That's correct. Yeah, that's a requirement from the Cannabis Control Commission. So that port is currently, it's not exposed. It is actually enclosed in a box. But this would be a secondary, it's enclosed in like a metal, like a gray standard box. Yeah. But this would be a secondary box that we're enclosing it with to keep everything uniform.
I don't think we've seen any applications for generator ports in the past. It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. We'll probably see more of it in the future.
Yeah.
It has to be separate, or it should be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I don't think.
The fast charging stations are 220, right? The generator port has to be 800 amp three phase.
Yeah,
building that size.
And you already started doing the pointing, right?
Yep, the repointing started yesterday. I'm here now, and I saw them doing some work today. So they are repointing. The other request from NAB was to there was this existing stucco work that was done that's basically a former window. And the request was made to, mask that stucco with and just make it align with the look of the brick. So that's going to be part of the work that we also do, just basically making this whole back area more uniform.
Yeah, I was going to make that suggestion. It'll look a lot better if you break it in.
That's great.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Great. Okay, let's go to public comment. Members of the public. Oops. Actually, Joe, that's up a little high for me on the screen here. Sorry. Okay, thanks. Perfect. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use a platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person. There's something blocking it, Joe. I'm not quite sure. Thank you very much. And should be focused on the project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Do we have any public comments, please? Serge, I see you're on the board.
Yes, I am, Caddy. So we did review this proposal at our committee with Brian a week ago. As Brian mentioned, we think that it's great. One of the things that we looked at is also where the box are installed. Right now, this is concrete in that face. Either it could be painted maybe brick color or things to make it match a little bit more that window that was actually filled in. If the fill-in could be painted brick color, this is a suggestion that we made. But we think that using boxes would be better. I'm curious if it's possible to use one box instead of two boxes. Maybe for electrical reason, it's not possible to use one box. Then two boxes would be okay. But if we could fill the gray infill, the concrete infill for the window maybe and paint it in a brick color. It may help a little bit there.
I'll respond to that. The brick color, the infill, that's already part of the plan. The landlord is working on that right now. The work has already started. I don't know if the plan is to paint it, but I will let him know that the request from NAB is to actually fill it in with brick, which I don't think that would be an issue. For the question about the boxes, I will hand that off to Megan. I'm not sure if we can do a single box to enclose it, but she may have a better answer. So I'll let Megan answer that question.
Yes. So the thoughts were for keeping them separate was so that there would be access to the plugging station, if in case, you know, just easier to have access to it, but we can explore doing one box instead if that's the preference.
I don't know that you can have two boxes.
Okay.
I think it's safety reasons.
One is a 220 EV charging line for a fast charge, and another one is more than likely 800 amp three phase. They're two completely different outlets. I mean, you can close them in a wooden box together, but they can't be. There's no way they could be one box.
Rob, this is exactly what we were mentioning. It's the outer wood box that I'm referring to, yeah. Not necessarily the electrical box. The electrical box absolutely needs to be separate. Right. No, I'm talking about the wooden box.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, per what Megan explores when she's done discovering, we're fine with either method. We're neither here nor there. If it's two separate boxes as shown on the diagram, or if we're placing it in one box, we have no issue with either method.
I would just say as a staff member, I'd like to explore the one box option with them. That would be my preference.
Great. And then we have Lori Thomas, who has a question.
Yes, hi, Lori Thomas on Marlborough Street, and I was part of the NAB Architecture Committee meeting, Brian. My question is about the tandem parking. I know that you are using very small cars and that you're going to be careful about this, but I wanted to point out that two cars shouldn't just not overhang the curb, but there's a public sidewalk back there, which is, I think, 3 feet wide. And people like me who spend a lot of time in the alleys need to be able to traverse that safely. So I just wanted to point that out and make sure that you understood that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. I don't see any other comments. Do you have anything else that we need to address?
I don't see any other comments coming in or people raising their hands.
Wonderful. Let's go right to the motion.
My motion is for approval as presented with details to staff.
Second.
Second.
All right. I'll do the roll call. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I'll be, Brian and Megan, why don't we talk tomorrow or on Friday to work out some further details?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Very much. Okay. And we're going to be moving on to our next application, which is 12 Fairfield Street. Do we have someone here for 12 Fairfield Street, please?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And Alberto, if you could hold on for one moment, Joe is going to be reading his staff comments, and then the floor will be yours.
Excellent.
All right, and Alberto, is there anyone else here that I should make a co-host?
I think, Tina, are you on?
Thanks.
Yes.
Ah, okay. All right, great. I'll just read my comment. Staff notes that 12 Fairfield Street is a three-story brick row house built in 1879 to 1880 and designed by Cabot and Chandler Architects. The design guidelines for the residential area of the district state that vents are most appropriately located on the uppermost roof in an inconspicuous area. Wall penetrations for vents is inappropriate.
Staff recommends approval of the application only if the applicant demonstrates that it is not feasible to locate the vent at an inconspicuous area at the uppermost roof. And I've had some discussions with Alberto and Tina, and it seems like it may be possible to locate it to the roof, but I'll leave it to you both to explain that in more detail.
Yeah, so it is possible, and we do respect that guideline with regard to relocating vents to the uppermost portion of the roofs when the vent would be located in a highly visible area on a facade. We're asking for you to consider this location based on three factors. One would be the function of the fan. We'd have to take the exhaust up three stories, which would be about 30 feet before it could begin to have an exhaust function, which would reduce the functional operation of the fan by approximately a foot, one CFM per foot. And also there would have to most likely be 90 degree relocations to get it to be in a location that would be favorable in the facility, in the home itself. And that reduces the CFM by 25 CFM per 90 degree turn. So we'd be basically cutting the functional effectiveness of the fan almost in half by relocating it to the roof, going from 350 CFM to something closer to 175 CFM. So that would be one consideration. The second is that we'd have to take that duct up through three floors, two of which are bedrooms, and the duct size itself is 8 inches. So once that's enclosed, you're talking about an enclosure that's at least 1 foot square that would go through two bedrooms and the third floor, actually the fourth floor, to get up to the roof. And there would be inappropriate locations for those enclosures. And the third reason is that the location that we're proposing for the event is, we feel, not highly visible from a public way. It's really almost in an alley courtyard that accesses the basement apartment, which is part of this unit as well. So those are the three reasons why we're asking that you would potentially consider not following the guideline in this specific case.
Do we have the updated presentation that we uploaded that show images of the property?
Yeah, so let me, yeah, I mean, we haven't walked through any of your presentation yet. So here, yes, so this is what was presented. This is the existing condition looking from Marlboro Street.
Yes.
I'll turn, I mean, you please go ahead and
discuss. Yeah, actually, there's another presentation that was also uploaded.
And when was that uploaded?
That was uploaded on December 6th.
So do you have that? Can one of you share your screen to show that?
Yes. Yeah, I could. Give me a minute to make that happen.
Alberto, I think I can do it.
You can do it?
Yeah. No, that's not right.
Yeah, it's right.
You're not seeing the PowerPoint you're seeing like my entire life, right?
Nope.
The PowerPoint?
Yep. Okay.
Nat, if you could come upstairs, that would be terribly helpful. Okay.
So this just shows the location of the property in the Back Bay and also its location on the corner of Fairfield and Marlboro. Now it went away, though, Tina.
Now it went away. Okay.
So there we go. There we go. We got it back. Let's go to the next page.
Is this a single family home?
Yes.
Well, there's an apartment in the basement. So it's a two-family home, technically.
It's a two-family.
This is for, this vent is for a gas
kitchen. Not gas, it's going to be induction. There's currently gas that we're taking out.
So this actually begins to give us an idea of what it looks like from Marlboro Street. It shows the location of the existing vent. It shows the gate access to the lower courtyard. Also identifies the proposed location for the new vent from Marlboro Street. Next slide.
Could you also explain the size of the vent that would be visible in the alley were it to be placed there?
Yeah, I believe that was part of the original submission. I believe it was 8 inches in width and maybe 4 inches tall.
It's three and a half, I think. I think you said 3.5 by 8 or so.
Yeah, so I was close.
So it's not a big thing.
No, it's very.
It's basically four bricks.
It's actually one brick in width, and two bricks tall.
And how far out does it extend?
Say again.
How far out does it extend from the wall?
Probably 3 inches or so. Again, that's part of the original submission. We can look at that.
So you're showing an existing vent that's at the parlor level. Would this be at the same location or below it? Or I'm sorry, I couldn't gather from your imagery where it would be.
There it is. So if you, it'd be between those two windows.
Right up against that downspout.
So what material would you do it in?
We could do it in copper. In keeping with guidelines.
Comes would it in. Be centered? Would it be centered between the windows? You said right up against the downspout, and that might be a little more jarring than if it were centered.
It can be located centered between the two windows.
It'd certainly be located
between
centered.
The two upper sashes. It would look like it may belong there.
Right.
Sure. It seems, I mean, this isn't the only one we have.
And we would be eliminating an existing one. So we're trading one for one.
Right. And that's a significant point, I think.
I think so too.
That's what my point was too, that you already have one. That appears to be painted like a brick color, the existing one. So the new one would be more true to material, let's say.
Yes.
I think I would be ready to make a motion.
Okay. All right, let me just get to the script. All right.
Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling and cannot use a platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the committee's purview. And I saw Serge has his hand raised.
Serge?
Yes, hello, sorry, I have to unmute. We didn't formally review this with the whole committee, but we did discuss this one. And we don't oppose this one because we think it's fairly conspicuous where it is, and it's not a jarring intrusion into the masonry. The only element that we were thinking of is we're curious if copper would be the best material or painted brick color would be better in that case. And maybe this is something that staff could give some opinion to. But other than that, we were fine with this application. Thank you very much.
Any other public comment?
I'm not seeing any.
Okay, let's go back to the motion.
Okay, I move approval with a with it located this voted in the to replace the existing vent, but be relocated to midway between the upper shafts or the upper windows slanking each other, and it's determination by staff, either painted or copper, whichever he feels is most appropriate.
I think the copper would be most appropriate, I would say.
Okay. So copper. Be my motion.
A second.
Right, second. So, all right. I will do the roll call. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Alberto, take care. We're moving
on. Could I just comment that the applicant should be complimented for bringing this in? We frequently see people putting these vents on without ever coming to the commission, and it's nice to have somebody follow the procedures.
Well,
I'm a Boston Latin graduate. I follow the rules.
That's great. Thank you, Tina. Okay, so we'll move on now to our next application, which is 254 Commonwealth Avenue. Do we have someone here for 254 Commonwealth Avenue, please?
All right, if you're here, could you raise your hand and I will make you a co-host. Let's see. All right, anyone here for 254 Commonwealth Avenue to present? Not seeing anyone.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Wait, hold on. Here we go.
Yeah, Richard Pignata Caro raised hand.
Right. Richard, are you here to present for 254
Commonwealth? Actually, Monica Pauli will be presenting. I think she's named as JGUR in the Zoom. If you could allow her to unmute as well.
All right, Monica. Monica, you should be able to unmute yourself now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Wonderful. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time. And I'm here to present for Tim and Dan. 254 Commonwealth Avenue.
And Monica, I will just let me make my staff comments and then you can let me know when to move the slides forward, okay?
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Staff notes that 254 Commonwealth Avenue was a four-story brick row house built in 1879 and designed by George Alden Avery Architect. Approval, staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the proposed work improves the appearance of the building as viewed from Commonwealth Avenue. However, all new doors should be wood with true divided lights, and the applicant should explore lowering the existing deck at the front northwest corner of the building to reduce its visibility from Commonwealth Avenue, with final details remanded to staff. So Monica, just let me know when to move forward.
We're ready to move, and we did submit a revision. We had two very helpful meetings with NAAB. And on December 8th, we submitted our final revision, which shows lowering of the roof deck.
I may not have that one here. Could you or someone from your team present?
Yes,
that?
Yes.
I can share that if need
yes,
be.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I'll stop sharing and you can go ahead.
Perfect. So this shows the front elevation and the roof. The existing roof deck needed renovation. It was leaking and it had deteriorated planters. So this is why the our clients decided to do something about it, and they really we had very good meetings with the neighbors, and we all realized that there is a really large unattractive HVAC unit that's like 5 foot six high that is visible from the public way, from Comf, from the middle of the mall. And after the first meeting, the neighbors were suggesting that we should remove that mechanical unit. And the owners agreed to do this and to replace it with two smaller units along the west side of the penthouse where they would not be visible from the public way. So they're sort of changing their HVAC system to accommodate that. And they would like to change the two windows to the wood doors, French doors that open out with through divided lights. The top of the doors would align with the existing windows. This is where you can see the proposed door, and you can see the footprint of the existing HVAC unit. We are also proposing to extend the deck where the HVAC unit used to be. And the existing deck was approximately 6'11 and a half from the penthouse, just behind the chimney. And with the neighbors, we realized that it looks better if we push back the existing railing a little bit to minimize the visibility. And we sank the deck itself, the structural members, into the roof. We have a little bit of a crawl space. So we are going to reframe the deck so we do not have a step up anymore. And everything, the existing deck went down 7 inches and back by a foot. And then without the new condensing unit, we are proposing to just run a continuous railing, which is consistent. And this is pretty much the view. We also put some yellow tape to see the visibility. And one can see a little bit from the middle of Commonwealth, a little bit of the yellow tape. And I don't know if everybody had a chance to view it yet, but these are the revisions after our meetings with the neighbors.
Yeah, this is what you've done, I think, is a vast improvement, and especially now lowering and backing, pushing back a little bit the deck really reduces the visibility, which is excellent. And of course, eliminating that large HVAC unit, moving it.
Yeah, the
yes,
fact,
and we're also changing a door around the corner, but it's not visible, and it's also going to match the new doors.
Right. And you said also that the you are going to be using wood and true divided lights for the doors and windows.
Yes, yes, it's going to be a custom door.
Good. I'm ready to make a motion.
All right, let me just get to our script. Okay.
All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use a platform, you may press star 9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And Serge, I see that you have your hand raised.
Yes, I would just would like to commend the applicant here for the changes. The changes represent, I think, a great improvement to the view from Commonwealth Mall, and the straightening up of the deck and aligning it on a single floor that is lowered will lower the visibility quite a bit. There's a slight view that, you know, if you look, but I think this is a great improvement, and we highly applaud the changes here.
Thank you, Serge. Joe, I didn't see anyone else with a comment. Did you see anything on your end?
Nope, that's all we have.
Fantastic. Then let's go back to the motion.
I move approval of the plan as presented, which incorporates the use of wood and two divided light doors and windows, and the lowering and pushing back of the front deck as described by the applicant.
Second.
All right, the roll call vote. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Okay, and Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Have a nice evening. We are heading now to our final application of the evening, which is 131 Commonwealth Avenue, which we continued from 11-8. Do we have anyone here to represent 131 Commonwealth Avenue, please?
I know, Ryan, you are here and...
Hello, yes.
Just made, Rebecca a co-host. Anyone else here should be a co-host?
We do have Adam as part of our owner's rep on as well, and AJ, who is with our contractor, Youngblood. Adam is Adam Faust-Wiley.
Yeah, got him. Let's see. AJ here. Well, if there is anyone else, please... from the team, and I will make you a co-host.
Yeah.
I know, I think, Ryan, were you going to show, or someone was going to go?
I will share.
All right. I will read my my staff notes.
Cool.
Staff notes that 131 Commonwealth Avenue is a four-story brick row house built in 1880 and designed by Carl Femer. At the November 8th, 2023 public hearing, the commission voted to continue the hearing of this application and requested that the applicant review the alternate location for the HVAC equipment described by the representative of the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay at that hearing. And that specifically was to locate two units at the east side of the roof and two units at the west side of the roof near the center. And any other alternative that would both improve the overall appearance of the equipment while reducing or eliminating visibility from the alley. Staff recommends approval of the applicant's preferred option one, which locates the equipment against a party wall and in a copper enclosure. It should be noted that this is a unique situation because the abutting building to the west has a party wall that extends well above the roof of 131 Commonwealth Avenue. Furthermore, this option reduces the appearance of clutter on the roof while improving open views from the north and south across the roof. So again, my comment has been consistent throughout the review of this application. I think this is a unique opportunity given the height of the adjacent building to group the equipment against that party wall. You know, if the party wall wasn't there, I would feel differently because this would be blocking views and light from the sky. And I think when you're in the alley, the views, in my opinion, are quite minimal, and it'll certainly improve the views across the roof, which has been something the commission has always taken into consideration when we have projects and include privacy screens. So with that, please go ahead and share your screen and look forward to you showing the options.
Okay. As before, I first want to say thank you for hearing us again for the third time. I hope to make this the last time. We are again discussing the roof deck. We had previous discussions on the third floor and parking court, which were approved previously. brief overview of our options that we are looking at based on our discussions with NABB over the past couple of weeks and our previous submissions to the BBAC. Still, our option one, which is our preferred option, is to stack these units against the existing taller party wall and enclose it in the copper enclosure. That would be replicating the standing seam that's carried from the existing headhouse. And in doing this, we would go ahead and move that existing railing line back to be in line with that enclosure for the HVAC pumps, thereby minimizing the extent of that roof deck in the rear. We just feel like this is the most elegant and thoughtful solution for the neighbors. It is, yes, completely visible in the alley, but in keeping with the materiality of what we see in Back Bay, it seems like this is an appropriate solution. Our next most desired option is to put these heat pumps in a line just behind the line of invisibility. We currently do have this option mocked up on site as well. It is not visible from the alley. So it is in a good spot for that. It does work for us in terms of plan layout for the deck. It's not as great, but we can make it work. The downside is it is visible from the neighbors across the way. And what we're trying to do in option one is keep it less visible. Option two is actually taking all four heat pumps and putting them in the current hot tub location on the roof deck, close to the chimney mass on the east side of the building. These are also behind the line of invisibility, so not visible from the alleyway. It does change up our use of the deck, but we can again make it work. The last and final version is what we were talking with the NABB a couple of weeks ago, is actually taking these units and splitting them so that we have two stacked still adjacent to the head house with one lower next to it. I'm sorry? One lower next to it, and it's still in an enclosure. And then one would be on the opposite side of it, behind the visible line of invisibility, that is. This is still visible from the street or from the alley, but not quite as visible as our preferred option one. But what it does is it creates a split heat pump situation, which isn't ideal, and it also totally like screws with the layout of the roof deck. It's just not ideal. So not our preferred option. And I can dive into the existing plans, existing layout, existing HVAC farm, which you're all familiar with. Our preferred option, enclosure, views from the street, and our rendering from the alleyway, showing that enclosure coming forward. It is visible, but again, in keeping with materiality. Close-up view of that. And our plan, which would include a new kitchenette in the middle of the roof deck, removal of the existing skylight enclosure and putting in a new flat walkable skylight, new Ipe decking where the existing decking is. We are also proposing new windows at this existing headhouse location. And that's the same across the board for all plans. Linear configuration, again, not visible from the alleyway. And again, this is actually mocked up on site and you can go take a look at it if desired. Actually, you can't take a look at it because you can't see it from the alleyway, but it's there. and then the four grouped together by the east chimney, again, not visible from the alleyway. And again, the plan layout is the same for the roof deck in terms of the kitchenette, the walkable skylight, and windows at the head house. And split HVAC heat pumps. And you can see here, you do get a little bit of that stepped enclosure that you can see from the alleyway. Not as much as our preferred option one, but still visible. And you can see in plan what this really does is sort of split this deck. This way you really can't, really don't get a very good usable space with this sort of thing going on right here.
If I could.
Yes.
I want to first of all compliment you for taking a look at some substantive alternatives. What we had asked for is to reduce or eliminate the visibility from the alley and to try to minimize or make as neat as possible the distribution of the equipment on the roof so it looks halfway decent from the windows across the alley. And I almost always agree with Joe, but in this case, I don't. I think there's a clear winner here, and that's option three. Putting the HVAC units on the eastern side by the chimney, which corrals them so that they're attractive, or at least aren't intrusive the way the stripping across the roof would be. And it means that they will not be visible from the alley. So, you know, from the standpoint of what we talked about last time, it seems to me that that's the option that achieves very successfully the objective that we were trying to achieve.
Could you show that option again, please? That option three, so we have that clarity as Tom's speaking about it.
The hot tub location. I echo Tom's comments and agree with him 100%. Option three is the clear winner.
Yeah, I also agree because I think even from across the street, instead of looking at four, you're actually looking at two of the unit. And still, I think, and for the owners too, there's still a substantial amount of space for them to use instead of splitting it up. So that actually looks really a great option. And thank you so much for providing that as an option.
You're very welcome. So I will just take a quick look at the plan again, you know, how it will be laid out in terms of our little kitchenette that we plan on putting up there, the walkable skylight, the area down at the current elevator in machine room, and the sort of small gas ventless fireplace that we're also proposing up against that party wall. Other items that we were asking to have done on this roof deck.
And commissioners, any other comments? John Christensen, do you have something to add?
No, I defer.
Yeah, I think, you know, replacing the skylight, installing an outdoor kitchen, neither of them are visible from any public way.
No.
So no. I don't think we're going to oppose that.
This comment might be mute, given how all my fellow commissioners are feeling, but I agreed with Joe that the option one is the most attractive in terms of how it would look on day one. But I had real concerns with you providing the areaway at the bottom, which would be obstructed by snow. So really, really relying on continuous maintenance at the winter to actually work. And so my concern originally was that that option would essentially, you know, sooner or later, people would just take down that copper enclosure, which would defeat the purpose and would make those units even more visible than now what you're showing through that kind of grate-like enclosure. So, but if that is...
Sorry to interrupt you. The enclosure actually is raised off of the roof about 30... Actually, I think it was 28 inches.
Right, so I was just wondering whether in a snowfall or something, you would have to actually clear up the snow completely to get enough air to the units themselves. And that might be a concern, right?
So, I actually do think that we're talking about heat in that area to make sure that the snow remains melted when we do get snow.
You mean like that you were incorporating stylus into the roof?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. But it seems like my observation is completely doesn't matter since we're going into option three.
I mean, I would still love to try to get everybody to vote for option one. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and Brian, I'll comment on that. I think option one is the best option in the sense of going forward and moving to the future with the new technology that we have, and actually having a clean roof and having the functionality of the HVACs. I think it's brilliant, and I'm repeating myself from the last presentation. I still feel very strongly about it. I think the innovation and the clean line with the copper enclosure as to the right on the high wall, it's a unique situation. This is something that we can certainly protect our interests going forward, but the high wall is calling for something in front of it. And to clean the roof in such an elegant way, to Joe's comment, as well as to have an efficient area to vertically take the HVAC off of a farm sort of location that we have now and have a clean roof, I think it's quite a brilliant presentation. And I think it speaks to the future of the city and what we should be looking at as commissioners in the sense of moving forward with within the guidelines. So thank you for that. And I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Sure. Kathy.
Any other comments from commissioners?
I was going
to make a motion.
Yeah.
All right, Ethel's going to actually say something, Tom, because we're like
this. I was just going to say, I mean, my preference is for option three. I feel like there's better access with the units down low. I think when they're stacked like that, I think what you're not showing is access, right? Wouldn't there be doors in the metal panel?
There would be a concealed door within that assembly. It would still be made out of the standing seam copper. It would be concealed, but it would be an access door that goes in there.
Right. So I think that you're introducing another set, like another datum of lines there. So my preference would be for option three.
But we would keep the datum of lines consistent. I mean, that's something that we would make sure happens because we want that to happen as well. There would never be an interruption of verticality just because there's a door cut into there.
Mm. My worry is still that you would see the mechanical, I'm not talking about this and kind of going forward with the guidelines or our, thinking about other projects in this area, is that you still will see the mechanical units kind of peeking through in between the metal slats, which is my only worry. Otherwise, I think if it could be completely solid and be a true continuation of the head house, I would completely agree with you. I'm just afraid that it's not going to be because of the requirements for air and so on that you have for that enclosure.
I do think that, though, if you were to paint the HVAC units, which is doable, and they're sitting behind the enclosure and you have the visual skew of that enclosures, you're walking down the alley or driving down the alley, that on top of the fact that the units are painted, I think they would totally be invisible to the eye.
Obviously the color would definitely help. So yeah. They didn't help you at all in the renderings, but at least it was really truthful. So I appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you for that, Ryan. Any other comments from commissioners before we go to the motion? Are we all set with that?
Who made the motion?
I would make the motion, but they're going to. Tom, was it you that said you were ready to make one?
I am ready, yes.
Okay, great. Then we can go to public comment if there are no other comments from commissioners at this point. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and for public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use a platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which includes landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And Serge, I saw that you had your hand raised.
Yes, Kathy, thank you. I want first to applaud the work that that the architects have done here on presenting these, and they reach out to us. We had discussions with them. We were able to work on some plans. I think it was a great collaboration, and I want to applaud this. Our view also was that three was preferred from a visibility point of view and putting the units together. So that's our view as well. And we look forward to hear the view from the commission on this front. But we think that that given the space and the amount of space on this roof deck, this is a very, very large roof deck, option three would be the best option for this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So I don't see any other comments. Are there any written or?
No, that's all that I see.
Then let's move back to Tom and the motion.
I move that we approve the proposed revisions to the deck as presented with the proviso that the HVAC equipment be located behind the eastern chimney with screening as illustrated as option three on the plan presented at this hearing.
Second.
Okay, do our roll call vote. Kathy Connor?
No.
Okay. Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Abstain.
Okay. Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, thank you. Well, I think this is finished finally. No more hearings.
I think so too.
Working with us, we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you and your team for all the efforts. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And that was our last application. We're going to move forward to the administrative review. Do we have a motion to approve the administrative applications?
Kathy, before we get to the administrative, I'd like just to make a comment on the administrative matters.
Yes.
I wanted to just mention to the commission that there was an issue which was very nicely handled by Joe and by the Garden Club. One of the proposed administrative approvals is at 389 Commonwealth. And 10 days ago, they cut down a living and very viable tree without any permission from the commission. The Garden Club brought that to Joe's attention, and I understand that they have now agreed to replace that tree and to work with the Garden Club to come forward with a landscaping plan that will restore what they cut down. And I wanted to mention that. I don't think it affects the actions on that particular application, but it was something I think that needed to be done and was very nicely handled.
Thank you for that point of information, Tom. You're right, it doesn't affect the actual administrative application, but by the same token, it's certainly a good to know, and it's a great that we're able to work together. So thank you for pointing that out, Tom.
And thank you to the Garden Club. I appreciate all their all their help throughout the
vigilance
throughout the neighborhood. Thank you.
Fantastic. So going back to that, do we have
motion to approve?
Yes. Great. Thanks, Tina.
Second.
All right, Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
All right.
And shall we have ratification? We have a motion to approve the public hearing minutes from 11.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Great.
All right. Kathy Connor.
Yes.
Tom High.
Yes.
Andy Champaterra.
Yes.
Ethel McLeod.
Abstain. I wasn't present.
Okay. John Christensen.
Yes.
Rob Weintraub.
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis.
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar.
Yes.
Great. And Joe, do you have any staff updates? Excuse me.
I don't. Things are pretty quiet in our office. So I just to wish everyone happy holidays and happy new year.
Yes. And the same to you.
Yes, happy holidays, everyone. And thank you for all your dedication this year. We made it through another one. So happy 2020
Always good.
Everyone. And we really appreciate your commitment to the commission.
Thank you, Joe, for everything.
Yes,
thank you all. Yes, definitely.
Yes. All right. And shall we have a motion to adjourn?
So motion move. To adjourn.
Right. All right. I don't think we have anyone that's going to go against that. And boy, what an early, look at this. I think this is a record for us.
Good job.
A holiday cocktail, everybody, and truly happy holidays to all.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thank you all very much.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.